WNYC has been reporting on the challenges of affording to live and work in New York City, one neighborhood at a time. On Staten Island's North Shore, the city is developing a rezoning plan to create more affordable housing and retail. It's happening at the same time the private developers are remaking the waterfront to include a new hotel, housing, and an outlet mall. WNYC's Sophia Palizacar reports on how a local arts council is trying to make sure that artists and residents have input in these plans before it's too late.
I meet up with Bob Wright at his home and arrive just as the mail truck does.
I'm looking for Bob, actually.
He's a native Staten Islander. His family goes back to the 1860s. He's wearing a necklace with a boat-shaped pendant. Both his grandfathers worked on the water.
When my parents were born here, there were no bridges. There was only ferries. And the oyster beds were still open. They closed in 1927. You know, that sense of being an islander was fairly strong in my generation.
Wright says that identity is eroding as more people have moved to the island. It started with the construction of the Verrazano Bridge in the 1960s. And now, as new housing and retail is built along the waterfront, it's estimated that thousands more will come. And Wright doesn't want development to change the artistic character of his neighborhood either. A retired high school English teacher, he now writes and performs songs about the history of Staten Island with his band Harbor Town.
I have a hunch every boat that we launch forever will sail in our dreams.
The artists tend to congregate up on the North Shore, where generally things have been cheaper and it's not as residential, and there's places they can have spaces to work. And I think part of the concern is the loss of those spaces as things get developed.
He's not the only one who feels this way. He's part of a group that's raised these worries and more to the local arts council, Staten Island Arts. Elizabeth Bennett is the executive director.
So all of this is really important now because there is so much changing and it's happening very rapidly. We're providing a forum for people to be able to make their voices heard, but also to be part of the process.
Her group has started a project called Future Culture. It's received funding from developers, city agencies, and the nonprofit Design Trust for Public Space. In 2014, Future Culture began collaborating with the Design Trust and started talking to the community about how they want to see the North Shore develop. For example,
what is the experience of walking along the waterfront? How can people do that in a way that is safe, in a way that activates the spaces that are not necessarily activated right now?
Because if you try to walk along the water right now, you just end up on these crumbling roads behind warehouses. That's one of the seven recommendations that Future Culture presented to the community one recent March evening. And despite the rain, it's standing room only.
Good evening, supporters and practitioners of Staten Island culture.
Representatives from the city planning department are in the room, as well as the developer for a giant observation wheel under construction. Posters on the wall illustrate the recommendations. Some are broad, like promote exploration or improve the experience of infrastructure, but then they break down into narrower ideas, like create a map of local cultural assets. One person attending tonight is Raul Barquette, a Staten Island artist. He likes one idea in particular, using public art to guide tourists from the ferry terminal to parts of the island they haven't visited.
If you walk two blocks in this direction, you can get to the Lighthouse Museum. And if you walk four more blocks, you can get here. People would do it, but if they don't know, they can't do it.
Another idea catches Catherine Titolo's eye.
The one about partnering with the social service agencies, that's terribly needed.
She's been a social worker all her life and would like to see more art therapy programs available, especially for kids. While these are pretty specific recommendations, there are other proposals to change city policy to preserve cultural space. The city of Boston has a law like that. When shoe company Converse converted an old warehouse on the waterfront into their headquarters, that law required them to create cultural space. So Converse built a recording studio, free and open to the public. The next phase for Future Culture is to start pilot projects based on the recommendations. And tonight, many people are on board, though a few residents are concerned. Community activist Camilla Hanks is running for the local city council seat, and she worries that money coming into the neighborhood from development or arts grants won't go to local organizations.
It's about hiring local. It's about patronizing local businesses. It's about putting all of that money infused back into the neighborhood.
Bob Wright believes that's a challenge too, which is why he's a part of Future Culture.
And I think that's the key, is to have some impact on the change, not to cry about the fact that it's going to change, because everything's going to change.
On an island that often considers itself ignored, this might be a good chance to speak up. Sophia Palisacar, WNYC News.